All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, there's Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot going on right now in the fellowship. And there's been a lot of self-examination over the last period of time as we've, particularly in the men's Bible study on Tuesday nights, have been going through some hard things, hard subjects, hard messages. And the truth is as you go through those, it's hard. It's hard to go through it. I wish I could stand back and go, piece of cake, man, it's just easy and stuff like that. No, the fact of the matter is, it is hard. But there's a end to it that is beautiful. You know, over in Hebrews 12, I think if you read down further, it talks about the chastening of the Lord and how it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, the beauty of the peaceable fruit of righteousness, where you're in right standing with the Lord, is that then you can walk in Him in confidence. You can walk in Him in confidence. You can know He is with you, and you can stand forth in His stead, ministering as He would if it were He Himself who was standing there before the people. With the exact same message, the exact same power, the exact same love, the exact same confidence, like the confidence He had when He tarried until Lazarus was dead 4 days in the grave. And then after being dead 4 days in the grave, He goes and He prays and He says, you know, Father, I say this, I know that You hear me always, He said. But I say this for the people's sake. And then He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And a man who was wound up like a mummy in the grave clothes came forth. That's the confidence He wants us to have in Him and only in Him. See, and that's the hard part because it means we have to get shed of all our confidence in ourself. See, that's the part we don't like. We like to have confidence in ourselves. It makes us feel good about ourselves. Right? But the fact of the matter is, it says that the man who's entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works. See, all those things you have confidence in, Scripture says man in his best state is altogether vanity. Think of that for a moment. Man in his absolute best state. You pick whomever you want to. I don't care. Go through all of human history, all the people you've ever known and the like. And the same truth applies to every single one. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Now, if we in our best state are altogether vanity, what do we have that's worth hanging on to? Is there anything? There ain't anything that's worth hanging on to. But the fact of the matter is we spend our entire life judging ourselves amongst ourselves and thinking that we're better than somebody. Thinking we're better than somebody. That is the broad and wide way that leadeth unto damnation, folks. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Oh, you really think you're better? Well, wait until you find out. And when you see it, you're not going to like it. It's going to be too late. Be way too late. It's going to be over. So the time for us to learn these truths are now. Because now we can then learn them and we can learn to love the Lord and everything of His kingdom. Because face it, you make it to heaven, you know what you're going to be spending? All your time in His kingdom. And if you don't love His kingdom, do you really think you're going to end up there, first of all? Do you think you're going to persevere? Do you think you're going to make it? Not. Now, I want to show you an attitude here, and this is in Ephesians 4, and we'll start from the beginning. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. It was a funny thing years ago, and many of you have heard me testify of this. But I was down in New Hampshire, and it was actually Claremont, New Hampshire. Karen, you were there. Charlie was there. I don't know if anybody else here was there. Certainly the two of you were probably there. Scott and Gail were there. And it was before service in the Grange Hall down there where we used to meet. And we'd have the loud music going, and I would be singing and dancing, kind of like I sometimes do around here before we get going, and kind of oblivious to everybody, more so back then than today. And I was praising the Lord, and the Lord quickened to me. He said, you know, Steve, he quickened to me this verse. And it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now, Paul was the prisoner of the Lord, and he was the apostle unto the Gentiles, right? He could try to go up to Jerusalem and convert the Jews. Where'd he end up? In Rome. Because he was a prisoner. When you're a prisoner, you know, when you try to make a prison break, what happens? They send people after you, don't they? They send dogs after you. They send everything after you. It doesn't work. All right? You get caught. Now, the thing is, every once in a while in the world, it works. Okay? We all get that, all right? And I like the movie The Shawshank Redemption where it worked and stuff like that. But in the Lord, you know what? The Lord, I mean, Paul wasn't able to escape the Lord. He wasn't able to escape the Lord. So you know what? The Lord, he was the prisoner of the Lord. And he was the prisoner of the Lord to accomplish a purpose, which was to be that apostle to the Gentiles, he called him. And what the Lord quickened to me that day was he said, Steve, the prisoner of the Lord for you, Vermonters. And I started chuckling. I started chuckling when it happened. And I've tried to make my own prison breaks. It's never worked out. It doesn't mean that the Lord has me here forever. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. But he has me here for as long as he has me here. And praise God. If that's for the rest of my life, praise the Lord. I'm content to be here the rest of my life. It's what's the issue? But I say this from the perspective that, see, most of you, your problem is you want to do your own thing. You just, when you get down to it, what it all comes down to is you just want to do your own thing. You want your own way. You want all the stuff you want. And you want God to bless that for you. Right? And we look at Paul or somebody like that and we think, wow, Paul was a mighty man of God. Yeah, he was a prisoner. He had a chain, folks. He had a chain. Because he was the Lord's. Now you can make yourself the Lord's. You can give up your life. You can do that. Or not. Scripture says, he that'll lose his life for my name's sake, the same shall save it. But he that'll seek to save his life, the same shall lose it. Right? So, you got a choice. You can choose to join him, in which case you give up. You give up. You cast down. You trod it underfoot. Your life. And I say it with that kind of emphasis, because the truth of the matter is, your old life and what you want to do is going to come back up. It is not going to go away and all of a sudden go. I mean, all those dreams and aspirations and everything that you had when you were young and all the other things, you think those things are going to depart and you're never going to have to confront and deal with them again? That's utter foolishness, folks. That is just not the way it works. The fact of the matter is, going to keep trying to come back up. And what you got to do is you got to put your boot. Think of yourself as having a heavy steel-toed boat boot. And you put it on the neck of that thing. You put that sucker down and you don't give it any place, and you choose yet again that you are going to serve your Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to do. Isn't that what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? You think he wanted to go on that cross for you and me? It says he went to the Lord three times. Three times. If it be possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You think you're going to do the great things of God and stuff like that and walk around as though, you know, he's here to do what all you please? You got to give that up. You got to understand something. Okay? What God has for you is better than anything you ever had envisioned for yourself. It is. I mean, are you going to tell me, anybody here going to tell me that healing the sick is something that you got a better plan? What, maybe going over to your neighbor's wife? Do you think that's going to be more satisfying than seeing the sick healed? Truth is, just about everybody, they want to go get the neighbor's wife. All you have to do is walk out here, you can see that. Okay, you turn on television set, you can see that. All plays to all of these interests on our part, doesn't it? To actually deny yourself and go either and see your neighbor's wife and the distraught situation that she is in and bring that gospel of peace, that healing balm of Gilead that has the opportunity to heal and restore and transform that relationship over there. But listen, that's going to take some time on my part. They may not like me. They may not, a whole bunch of different things. I tell you what, when you share that and they receive it, there is nothing you will ever experience in this life that compares to seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ transform an individual's life, take it out of just the other pits and cesspool of this world, and bring it up out of that miry clay and set that person upon a rock and let them go forward. But you got to want that kind of thing. You got to want it. You got to want it. If you want all your own temporary things fulfilled, you're never going to get it, folks. You're never going to get it. First of all, you're going to come up with 1,000 reasons not to go across the street. And come up with 1,000 of them. Because there's plenty of them. They don't really want to hear. I don't know them. How could God do anything with me? Right? You come up with 1,000 reasons. But I'll tell you what. If you will choose to go forward and share, the Lord will be with you. Remember we talked about that joy? Talk about that joy. Talk about that love. What you get to partake of is something that's far greater than you. But you're never going to get there. Never going to get there. As long as you, it's all about you and what you want. So he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, why would he be beseeching them if everybody was doing this? Would he be beseeching them if everybody was doing it? He's beseeching them because they're not doing it. Right? I beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. But that vocation seems too tall for me. It seems too great. It seems beyond what I can do. Exactly. Exactly. If it was something you could do, then what would you need the Lord for? Okay? And if it's something that he can do, are you going to believe him for it? Or are you going to draw back in unbelief? Are you going to draw back in self-justification and every other thing? Because I can tell you what, that place of self-justification, that place is the place that is miserable. I mean, the most miserable people I've ever met in my entire life, and I've met a lot of miserable people. And when you get older, the miserableness is like written all over your face. All your lines reflect the utter miserableness. Isn't it the truth? I mean, I had this one client, you might remember him, he's an Italian guy, he was like in his 90s, he did his will. He was bright and cheery, he had a smile on his face. His wife had I mean, it was just, and she was that way. She was completely that way. It was an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing. She begrudged his very joy. She begrudged it. She begrudged it. Pride will make you miserable, folks. Self-justification will make you miserable. And you hold on to it because you're justified. If I don't have anything else, at least I'm just amidst a perverse people called you. That is everybody around you. Because everybody around you is just wrong. And so you can be miserable, you can be in pain, you can be in constant bitterness and grief and sadness and every other thing. But boy, you won't let that go, man. You won't let it go because I'm just, if I'm nothing else. Let it go, man. Let it go. Let it go. Walk worthy of that vocation wherewith you're called. You step out in faith. You don't let anything stop you. We sing that song, Casting Every Hindrance Aside. Everything that would stop you, you just take that and you cast it down and you trot it underfoot. I mean, you trot it underfoot. When you guys see me here. The people out there can't see me. But, I mean, when I trot underfoot, I'm doing some serious trotting. You wouldn't want to be under my foot when I'm trotting. When I'm trotting, the last thing you'd want to be is anywhere near my feet because, well, my feet stink. But leaving that aside, the fact of the matter is I'm coming down with fury on that. That is not going to have any place over me. It's not going to have any hold over me. I will refuse because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't care what it is that they throw. There is nothing this world can bring that can defeat my Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. I don't care what it is. And if you believe that, then go forward in it. Go forward in it. If you don't believe it, then stop lying to yourself. What you doing here? If you don't believe it, but you want to, ask the Lord to have mercy on you. Ask him to strengthen and fortify your will to do his will. Ask him to strengthen your faith. And then do the things he says to strengthen your faith. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, for example. How many people do that? It says building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you lack faith, but I don't know that my prayers are right. Hello? Have you ever prayed in the Holy Ghost before? That's about the first thought that comes to you. What is this? Right? So if you can't even do it because of that, well, you've lost. You've lost. All right? Except the devil has won. You do it anyways. You do it anyways. In hope. You press forward. And everything that would come against you to say something otherwise, you cast down. Every high thing that would come against you. Karen talked about that battle and have to be there every single day. You're right. It is there every single day. All right? It's there every single day. I used to think that if I just ran really fast, I'd reach the finish line and it would go away. And boy, I mean, back in my youth, I could run fast and run diligent and run these different things. I ran hard. Ran harder than probably all of you. At least those who are here. You know what? It says run with patience, right? Oh, man. I was daggone beat and tired. And it still wasn't over. So I began my first lesson in run with patience. For me, that lesson didn't take a day or a week. It took a long time, okay, to begin to see that. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Now I know that that's the truth. So every day I get up and I run it. Praise the Lord. All right. It says, with all. Now, this is verse I wanted to get to because, look, verse 2 here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. With all lowliness. You've got to look up the word. I love the word lowliness there. Because it doesn't talk about it from a false humility standpoint. What it talks about is it from an accurate assessment of oneself. Did you hear me? An accurate assessment of oneself. All lowliness. You know what that means? When you accurately assess yourself, everybody else looks pretty daggone good. They look very good. In fact, they look like people maybe I ought to listen to. Do you ever think of that? I mean, you hear me? They look like people maybe I ought to listen to. You mean all those people I used to think I was better than and shouldn't listen to? Yeah, I'm talking about right just them. But they're wrong. I forgot. I forgot to bow down and worship the appropriate person here. I have to do this with my son Joseph periodically. It fall down at his feet. I forgot that there's the great Joseph who happens to be a part of my household. He, Dad. Well, the attitude with which sometimes that judgment comes forth is not pretty. We don't even realize it. He didn't realize it. I mean, that's why the Lord has grace on you. Because you didn't realize it. But he didn't want you to stay there, okay? He wants you to have an accurate assessment of oneself. Which means you're not going to like what you're looking at. But what happens is we avoid it and we get offended, right? Somebody, and especially if some minister seeks to show us something that we don't like to look at, then they don't have any love. See, you make my job easy if you do this yourself. If you get down between yourself and the Lord and you want to know and you humble yourself. You know when you hear from me about this stuff? You hear from me about this stuff when you haven't done that. Which is the time you least want to hear it, let me tell you. It's the way it works. It's the time you least want to hear it. And it's also the time when most people get up and go then. Well, I never. Somebody should have. You see what I'm saying? You don't usually like it when it's coming from somebody else. Do it yourself. Then you know what my job is to pick you up off you're like the cartoon character who's been flattened by like a steamroller and you're on the, my job is to then to pick you up off of it. Say, stand up. Remember, I mean, look, when John the Revelator, when Jesus appeared to him in the book of Revelation, when you look over in the different stories where Jeremiah and Isaiah and all these guys and the Lord appears to them, what's the Lord always having to do? He's having to pick them up. They're on the ground as dead. My comeliness has become uncomeliness. All right? And he picks them up off the ground to stand on your feet. But I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. Here, wait a second. Take this coal. Your lips are clean. Now go forth and do what I told you to do. So if you're going to come forward and you're going to go forward in what the Lord has for you, there is no way to come into that unity with Christ. But going through this place to the point where you get an accurate understanding of who you are. And the thing is when you get that, you're going to have all lowliness of mind. There's not going to be any high-minded thing in you. Because when you have an accurate understanding of who you are, there's nothing to be high-minded about. Nothing to be high-minded about. There's nothing worth hanging on to anymore. So he goes on, with all lowliness and meekness. Now, you know the beauty of this meekness? Is this meekness. See, when you get the proper understanding of yourself, now this meekness is ready to receive. Ready to receive instruction. Ready to receive correction. Ready to be guided. You know why? Because you're not hanging on to any of that old crap. You're not comparing everything with yourself and whether it agrees with yourself. Because if it agrees with yourself, you know it's wrong. Because me, myself, and I'm that one who sees that I'm worthless. Right? So when you compare everything to that, it's like, this is awesome, man. This is so much better than me. You see what I'm saying? And then it goes on, with all long-suffering and meekness, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So this long-suffering part is, you're not going to, what other people are doing to you is not what's going to move you. See, us by nature, if we don't like what somebody's doing to us, what do we want to do? Do something to them, right? Isn't that human nature? We call it tit for tat out here in the world, right? We want to do something to them. And what happens is we become kind of hardened in our perspective and cannot hear anything, can we? Because we're so absolutely sure that this person deserves what we want for them. Now, as an attorney, I get to deal with this all the time because that's what everybody wants, right? You know, they're really not looking for justice. They kid themselves. What they're looking for is to be justified. Different. And so instead, with long suffering, first of all, look at David when he's walking out after he's fleeing Jerusalem. Remember, there's that guy over there who's casting stones at him and telling him all manner of evil things. And Joab, I think, it was one of the other guys with him, wanted to go kill the man. It was one of Saul's relatives, apparently, Robin says. And David said, don't do it. He said, maybe the Lord's ordained him for this very purpose to do this right now, today. David knew that the reason why he was having, that these different things were coming upon him was because of his own actions. Not that man's. They're his actions. And so he went forward not thinking too highly of himself, even though he had men who, with a word, would have put the guy, silenced the guy. And instead he extended grace unto the man. It later turned out that what was in the man's heart was wrong. And he ends up dying. Much later. But at that moment, David didn't kill him. Could have. He let the Lord establish where things were. See, here, this whole purpose out here, and the reason why the Lord's long-suffering, it says, is he doesn't want anyone who can be saved to not be saved. So he gives us time and space and place to learn the things that he wants us to learn. That's what he does. He's gracious. Forbearing one another in love. See, this is a decision you make. It's not something you feel. And it's not something that's high-minded. I can tell you, I hear so many, and I hear it. And what it is people perceive themselves as being great lovers of others because even though all of you have done me so much wrong, even though I've had to put up with it and all this wrongness and judgment for so long. Even though you don't show any compassion or care for me, I still love you. I'm telling you, I mean, it's not funny. This is real. There are people listening right now that this is the exact attitude, the precise attitude. Okay, this is the precise attitude. And it's right out of the pits of hell. Right out of the pits of hell. No. See, when you have a proper understanding of yourself, you know why you forbear? Because you know how much forbearance has been there for you. And you're not so quick to judge the other person. You're willing to give them some space. Let the Lord work with them and see what gets established. You follow what I'm saying? You have a hope for them. And you also don't think so highly of yourself to think that you're just right. I mean, I've had to stand, folks, and many of you are witnesses to this. I've had to stand amongst a bunch of people come against me over the years in different things. They don't usually come against me like some direct way and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, that would be too noble. Instead, what happens is they lurk and they speak evil things and stuff like that. And the thing that happens when you go through things like this, because you don't want to see people go down, and they don't realize you don't want them to see them go down somehow or other in their own way, because they like seeing people go down. They think that's what you actually want. What happens, man, is this whole thing of going through the self-analysis, oh my God, put it on steroids, pump it up. Think of Barry Bonds, you know, I'm going to kick your butt, you know, kind of hit a home run if you pitch it to me. You go through a really difficult time because what comes to your mind is all the things you've done wrong, all the lack of love on your part, all of the stuff that you wish you could have done, gone back and done differently. And the thing that happens in the end when you get through all of that is the Lord basically shows you that, yep, but what you're not realizing here is it's not about you. The reason why these things are coming about is because they've rejected me. And the idea that you could stand in a place that their rejection of you is a reflection of a rejection of him, when you can look at yourself and see that you're nothing, is an amazing thing. But I can tell you, you cannot stand in that place if you think you're something. You can't. You can't stand in that place to either minister compassionately to the individual, and you can't stand in that place to watch the Lord judge them. Can't do either until you get this part right. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know that endeavoring to persevere. I like a bit out of that movie. You know, I think it's Outlaw Josie Wales or whatever. The president told the Indians to endeavor to persevere. In other words, they were in a bad situation, but you know, do the best you can. But endeavoring takes effort. See, you endeavor here. This is an endeavoring that you do that you don't freaking feel like doing. I mean, when you get right down to it, you don't feel like doing it. So what? So what? Did your feelings ever guide you in ways that were right before? No. Right. So you take, you know what you do? You take that steel boot and you put it down on that feeling and you go, oh, well, ta-ta, you're not going to control me. I'm going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, see, the Spirit, it's one Spirit of God. The words that Jesus spoke, what did he say? They were the words of his Father. The Father he's speaking of is the Holy Spirit. The works that he did. Who did the works? His Father. Who was his Father? The Holy Spirit. Okay? The Spirit he's talking about is the same Spirit that dwells in you. Unity. One. No division. But I'm not going to just parrot what other people say. I know that would be far too humble to say the same thing Jesus said. You don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm not going to presume to use the words of Christ. Well, gosh, well, I mean, I forgot. Let me fall down and worship you because you got something better. You got something better than the words of Jesus Christ? I mean, wow. Where is he? What do you mean? I mean, he should be worshiping you. Right? No, you wouldn't. You want to come into that unity of the Spirit. The words that you speak, you want them to be the words that the Holy Spirit gives you to speak. The things that you do, you want to be the things that the Holy Spirit guides you to do. And then you know who gets the glory? When you have an accurate understanding of yourself. All the glory goes to him. Because you know that you can't touch that. You know that you can't do that. But you are grateful to him that he lets you be a part of what he's doing. And you stand with manly firmness before the people to share those truths. And the fact that they may want to point fingers at you and say other different things. Oh, well. Oh, well. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Okay? Are they true? Sometimes. Sometimes they're not. But whether they're true or whether they're not true, it misses the point. I'm saved by grace. Not by myself or anything I do. You know, you're mistaking me for another guy. I have a Savior who had to die for me. His name is Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? So you're able to, you want to come into that unity. And the bond of that peace is that gospel that I just spoke. My Savior died for me. It was the only way I could be saved. Because I am that evil. But because he died for me, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. And that's the purpose of this self-examination, that you and me can go forward and do as he did. And this is the path you have to pass through to get there. May the Lord bless you.